would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me and knew his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son.
For 1,000 tongues. I was thought about that this morning. If I had 1,000 tongues, I'd praise you with all those tongues. And just think about those old songs and Great Is Thy Faithfulness and all these great tunes we grew up with. This morning we're going to do another old tune for you. That's why we praise him. If you guys have been around worship long enough, you know the song. But all you new folks, it's brand new. What's old is new. Let's stand on up.
That's why we praise him. That's why we sing.
quench my soul, free from thirst for lower things, frivolous thrills, wrench my soul, flood my soul, flood my soul, whelming fount, abundantly filled with passionate fire, flood my soul, keep my days. Keep my days for your glory. Secure my heart for your ways. Oh, 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 oh. I cling to you, oh, Lord of all, strong deliverer. All my life is yours. Oh, 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 oh. Surrender everything I am to you, my only hope. All my life is yours.
Midst of this, and God, that we just ask for your presence to come in a mighty way right now, as we just recognize that when everything else in life is shaking, that you are the cornerstone. Let us just be rooted in you, in Christ's name, and let us just worship him with everything that we have. In your name.
Mm-hmm. us than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
Sing it out like you mean it.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone.
Christ alone. Cornerstone. The weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of.
those of us, we just come before you and thank you just for so much. God, we are so privileged to be able to worship you for you in a country where we have brothers and sisters who are in hiding right now, and they're praising your name for fear of their own lives. And so, God, as we come here now, may we continue to worship you as we go ahead and just receive your tithe and our offerings. You've given us so much, so much, and let us just give back a portion of that to you. And God, let us mostly give that back to you in our lives through worship. For that, we give praise in Christ's name. In this place, and I just pray that more importantly than move in this place, that you'll move in the place of our hearts, and that God, you'll heal our minds, you'll heal our voices, you'll heal our sicknesses, you'll heal all those hurts, all that stuff, God, in our lives that we're not quite sure about what tomorrow will bring, that we know who holds the future, and that we'll put our trust and faith in you. And so God, right now, during this time, we are just laying any crown that we have, anything that we have, a symbol, whatever we have, just at your feet. and saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. And may we just serve you in an amazing way. May we have whatever you have for us, God, because I feel like we're going to go on a journey today, God. We're going to go on a journey, and your Holy Spirit is going to take us to the feet of Jesus. For that, I give you praise in advance. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. All right, everyone, at this time, we're going to have our children head out. And just say hello to those around you real quickly, and we'll continue with our way. All right, great to have everyone here today. If you're visiting with us, welcome. We believe, I say this all the time, we believe that you're here. God brought you here for a reason, and that's for him to speak to you, not me. But he's using me, and so that's an incredible experience. But most of all, relax and just connect to the presence of God. We've already had some really good worship where God is connecting to our hearts. We want to welcome Church Online. Everybody say hi, Church Online. And we're just glad that everyone has joined us no matter where you are right now. If we'll look here, we have a couple different things here for information. Today after church, if you want to know more about Haven or you want to become part a member, if you take the class, it's not locking you into being a member, but it also helps you share some information about that. I want to reiterate, if you'd like to join our Sunday school team, we're looking for a couple people who are willing to fill in a couple different times during the month, or maybe once a month or so. We would love to have you do that. And if you said, I already did my time, you're the perfect candidate. There we go. So we love to have you. And if you said, I've never done that, you're also the perfect candidate. Bulletin announcements. We have a new change in the process. So if there's anything that you need to get into a bulletin, we need that sent to the information there. It says info@havencc.org by Wednesday at 5 p.m. so that we can make sure we have that in. Small group training will be September 18th at 7 p.m. right here. If you have questions, you have the information there in your bulletin. Women's group and men's groups are meeting. Women's on Monday at 6:30, men on Tuesdays at 6:30. And we shared Grief Share, which is going to begin September 26th for anyone who may be experiencing grief or loss. That program is geared for that. I know many of you within this same environment, and many of you may know people in your community that have recently dealt with the loss or the death of someone. We would love for them to be part of this healing process, as God never intended for us to go it alone. He wanted us to go ahead and connect together. So this is a great program, and I'm thrilled that we are offering this not only to our church, but to our greater community. Also, beginning in October, we are going to begin our new small group series. People are getting back from summer and travel, holding on a little bit. But I want to show you, it's going to be called All In, and I'm going to show you this video clip really quickly. And my own, there we go. Sign-ups in the front, if you could start those clipboards around, that would be great. And then if anybody wants to sign up, you can sign up to be a group leader. And we have that on the 18th. We'll be going through some training for that. And if you'd like to just be involved, we'd love to have you involved with those as well. All in. Just real quick, how many people have ever taken part of our church-wide studies? Awesome experience, right? Great way to get to know people. We'll have several different groups that are around, and we want to make that great for everybody, different times of the day. And I really like this. This is by Mark Batterson, who is a pastor in Washington, D.C., and it's just really good. I love the statement, if he's not Lord of all, he's not the Lord at all. And we just sang, he's the cornerstone and he is Lord of all. So if you're in a part in your life or in your spiritual journey where you feel like you're kind of not fully there, it is an incredible journey that we can go through today. Also, as part of our grief share, you can see the insert about surviving the holidays at September 23rd. Many of us know that holidays are increasingly difficult. One of the statistics that they show is suicide and depression tend to go through the roof during the holidays because of that feeling of loss. We want to make sure that God can tell us that we are loved and cared for, and so we'd love for you to connect to those things as well. We have several people who are on our prayer list here. We have, from the Steckers, they lifted up Tom Warren, who is hospitalized with COPD. Emily Hewitt has asked for prayers for Tom Sibley and Bill Webb. Cancer has returned, and I remember we had been praying for him before. Rig and Sarah has asked for prayers for Dennis Christie, who's still in the hospital, but much improved, and we want to praise God for his recovery, but needs continued prayer for strength and healing. Melinda asked for prayers for all those in Carolina affected by Florence. Her daughter Nikki has stuck it out, and her mom and dad and Tammy's family, her sister, went to Florida and used Tammy's timeshare, so they're making it a vacation. So they're in good shape. Bill asked for prayers for Artie, who suffered a stroke this week. Nancy, prayer for a friend of her son Jeremy's, who was murdered in Chester County this week. Prayer for his family as he had young boys, and pray they find who did this. So we want to go ahead and pray for that. And Scott and Jen asked for prayers for Jane Irwin, who's having neck surgery to fuse vertebrae in the next 8 days. And also Scott and Jen asked for prayers for Paul Elwood, an Army veteran, teacher, and administrator in CCPS, is in the final stages of his battle with bone and blood cancer. Prayers for him and his family as he continues to fight as a true soldier. Okay, so there's lots of needs, lots of prayers that we want to continue to lift up there. Let's go to Lord in prayer at this moment. Heavenly Father, once again we come before you and we have a list. It seems like we have a stack of those prayer requests. And God, those are just a sample of all the prayer requests that we are lifting up right now in our hearts and minds. So God, sometimes life gets really difficult. Sometimes it seems too difficult. But we were never created to do this to get alone. We were created to be together. And so God, I thank you for this church, this Haven Community Church, that is ministering your healing here and around the world. But more importantly, God, we have people that today just feel lost. They feel lost in their sickness. They feel lost in the lost of the loved one. They have those who may be searching you out. They have those who, in our minds, that we may have confusion and lack of clarity. And God, we just need you to say, this is the way, walk in it. And so as you do that, God, we're going to pray that regardless of the situation, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a death, whether it's a joy, no matter what it be, that God, you will be in the midst of all things and that we will continue to seek you. We love you, God, and the remainder of this service, just empty us out and fill us up with your Holy Spirit. We give you praise for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Today's gospel lesson comes from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.
All right, good. Welcome. We are at week two today of our untieable. And somebody says, what is that? It means that sometimes, how many feel sometimes like life is just tied in knots? I just feel like you're all just twisted and things aren't going the way they should. And so then I decided to ask the question. Last week we talked about the subtitle for this is, what would Jesus undo? Not what would Jesus do, that was very popular a couple years ago, but and actually it was originally started in 1896. But what would Jesus undo? That areas of our lives that are knotted up, that are tied up, that are keeping us from maybe, leading to our series, keeping us from going all in. What is those things? And it's like, have you ever had a rope and you're trying to pull it through something and you have a knot in it? Or how many of you ever tried to tie your shoestring and you have a knot in it? And it's got wet and it's so tied and you can't get it undone? And see, what do you have to do? Cut it or get new shoestrings, right? That's some of the things we have to do. We don't just cut our lives and go ahead and get a new one. That's not what we do. So we want to see, what would Jesus undo in our lives? And the theme verse for this comes from the Message translation, and here it is right here. If you'll look up here, it says, Jesus is telling them parables, and Mark writes this, with many stories like these, he presented his message to them, fitting the stories into their experience and their maturity. Isn't that really cool that Jesus doesn't just give you a story and say, have fun with that one? He fits it into your life experience as well as your own maturity. Maybe that's why some of the stories are really simple, you know, that we can understand it. But he was never without a story when he spoke. And here's the key part of this verse. When he was alone with his disciples, these are the ones he said, you guys really got to know. You guys really got to understand what's going on here. Because when I get out of here and I ascend to the Father, it's in your hands, you and the Holy Spirit. And he says, when he was alone with his disciples, he went over how much? Everything. How'd you like to pass that test? He went over everything. And what did he do? Sorting out the tangles and untying the knots. And I think that's just awesome, because I believe that we live in a time that we need Christ to help sort out the tangles and untie the knots in many of our lives. A couple weeks ago, and in case you don't know, I like to eat food, okay? Anybody have something that you really, really like? And there have been several times, like, I like cereal, too, you know? Like, anybody like cereal? Like, any time of day, cereal's kind of good. Who does not like cereal? Something's wrong with you. But I'm not talking like that drab, like, grape nut stuff they pass off as cereal. I'm talking, like, Lucky Charms. You got me here? You know? I mean, who could not do, like, they sell now in a little pack just the freeze-dried marshmallows, and that's like heaven to me, you know? So, but, like, there's something I like about that. And there's been times since I've had children that I'll say, okay, maybe I'll have some cereal, and there might be, like, some Count Chocula, or we're getting to that time when they start doing the Boo Berry, Frankenberry stuff. Uh-huh. You with me? All right. And so, you go there. You like it, Chris?
Oreos.
Okay, there we go. Chris likes his cookies. So, you go there, and you go ahead and you grab the box and you're ready and it's empty. Anybody with me? And every ounce of that excitement that you're going to have, like, I even do battles with my marshmallows and the other things. Anybody do that? My kids do it, so I guess it's a family genetic trait. I don't know. But you get really all that excitement that you're going to have from doing battle between the marshmallow people and the other whatever those things are made out of is gone, and you're left like, ah, and you're empty. Right? It looked good on the box, am I right? Count Chocula's going, and the guy's going, oh, me frosted Lucky Charms. You know, so we're having that, and I'm getting really excited. But then when I go to pour it in, it's empty. It's extremely empty. So I started thinking about this. What if the songs we sing, the sermons we preach, the acts of service we do look good on the outside? We got our spiritual Lucky Charms that were advertised on the box, but inside, it's empty. Inside, God's saying, let me get some of that Lucky Charm. Come on, give me some of that. Let me taste the rainbow of worship. And you go ahead, and there's nothing there. We're going to talk today about worship, and primarily empty or hollow worship today. And the verse that we're going to use comes from Matthew chapter 15 that was just read for us, but I want to look at it again. And I want to give you some background history. There were some religious leaders and teachers of the law. They were known as Pharisees. And the Pharisees were very, very, very rigid about their beliefs. And it says here, then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came up to Jesus. They came up from Jerusalem. And they said, why do your disciples break the tradition of our elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now, some of you may say, well, that's a good question. My kids are a little disgusting. I make them go wash. Anybody ever done that? Told your kids, go wash your hands? Anybody told your spouse, go wash your hands? All right? So we say that's not too bad. But we don't understand how deeply the Pharisees took this. They were so rigid about legalism that they forgot who they were worshiping. And so in this, the Pharisees were obsessed with ceremonial cleaning. And we're not just talking like take a bath during the day or two or three. I'm somebody who I'm known, like if I get like a little bit disgusting, I got to take a bath. Melissa yells at me and says, why are you taking three or four baths? You're wasting water, that kind of stuff. I said, because I want to be clean and smell good for you. Okay? And she's like, whatever. Go take another bath. Okay? So I do that. So it's not that part. This is about a ceremonial thing that you are unclean in the midst of this. To be eligible for worship. And for the Pharisees, everything fell into two areas. Clean and unclean. Clean and unclean. Clean and unclean. And unclean was contagious. Come here, Jeremy. Come here. I need your help. All right. See, come here. Just help me right here. Okay, let's hear it for Jeremy. Here we go. All right, so let's say I'm unclean. You ready? Unclean is like cooties. You go ahead and say, boom. Now he's unclean. Go touch your mom. Now, Beck, I'm unclean. Jeremy's unclean. Becky's unclean. Touch somebody else. Jake, Adriana, you can just pass it all around. And we're all unclean. We all have cooties. You remember cooties? All right, I don't know what cooties are, but everybody didn't want, cooties, I don't want them, right? And we all pass those on. And this, cooties sounds like a joke, but this is what people who were religious leaders actually believed. And they had a wide area for that. If there was anything, if you touched something unclean, if you had eaten unclean food, if a mouse touched something and you touched it, then you were unclean, and it continued on and on, and you had this whole kind of ceremony that had to go to get you back, to get you clean. Sometimes it meant you had to stay outside of the camp, outside of everybody else for a week and go through a whole process. We got it easy. We just turned on the shower. You had to go through all this whole kind of process. And, you know, they actually had the specific nature of water that you needed to clean your hands. So when they're talking about your disciples don't wash their hands, it was a quarter of a log. And you say, well, Jack, what is a quarter of a log? And I say, I'm going to tell you right now. It was water that filled the equivalent of an egg and a half. And you had to go ahead, you ready for this? You had to put both hands together like this. And someone would take that quarter of a log or the egg and a half of water and pour over top of your hands. And you had to make sure it was like this. Because if it ran down your arm, then your arms were unclean, and then you had to do something like this, and if it got on your armpits, they were unclean, and before you know it, you're going to need a whole bath. So you had to make sure your hands were proper this way, and it was called just enough to get down between the bends of your fingers. And they had people who were watching that. And here's the thing. Pharisees cared so much about it, it wasn't just between meals, it was between courses. So let's say you go for a lovely meal at McDonald's, and you sit down, and the first thing you decide to have is your burger. So you have to go ahead, quarter of a log there, make sure everything's clean. You eat your burger, and then you say, okay, time for some fries. And you have to go ahead, wash again with the quarter log for fries, make sure it doesn't get anywhere else, And then you go ahead and you say, oh, well, I'd like to drink my milkshake. And what do you got to do again? Wash again. Here we go again. Wash again. And then you say, oh, I really like the looks of that apple pie. Guess what you got to do? Quarter log again. Wash again. And then you say, oh, I like the ice cream cone. You got to do it again. Seems a little ridiculous, doesn't it? So the Pharisees come up and say, why aren't yours doing the same thing in our tradition? Why aren't they cleaning themselves like this? And if you want to see an area in Scripture where Jesus goes off, here it is. I love it. I love it right here. People like to make little Jesus meek and mild. No, Jesus was a tough dude. Jesus was a mason. And when things were wrong with him and with what people were doing about his father, he went right at it. And he basically tells them this. He says to them, he begins to say, you hypocrites. Just to let you know, when Jesus says that, nothing good after this is coming. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right about you. And if anybody knows about Isaiah, Isaiah was a prophet that every time he opened his mouth, he said, I'm in trouble, but I've got to share what God wants me to do. So here's what Isaiah said about them. These people honor me with their what? But their hearts are? They, and Jesus says, quoting Isaiah, they worship me in vain. They worship me in vain. You see, on the outside it looks good, but inside it's not right. It's empty. It's hollow. It's an empty gift. You see, because there's a distance that's here between two things. We honor God with our lips. Yay, God, we love you. We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. And meanwhile, ready? Thank you. Hold on to that for a while. Our hearts are far. We are here praising, but our hearts are over there. There he is. Look at it. See? Hearts all the way over there. Good catch, by the way. All right? Hold on to it for a while, okay? And I wanted to show you the visual because if you look, there's only this much between these two areas. But more than a knot, our mouths are here and our heart for worshiping God is way over there. And Jesus calls that worship in vain, calls it vanity. It calls it more about us. So what would Jesus want to undo? I believe with all my heart that Jesus wants to undo us giving worship for a show. Here we are. I can have the best production in the world up here, but if my heart is not connected to the Father, it's useless. He could say, you can pretend. You know how many people have preached and people who have sang and people who have shared prayers that they're going ahead and they're going through the motions and pretending, but their hearts are all the way over here, far from God. They're going through the motions. And I really, really believe in my heart that what God wants to do and that those of us as Christian people and those of us in this church specifically, as I am the pastor, me included, can really grow in our heart expression in worship. I believe it's the greatest area for spiritual growth because when we connect further and if we bring that gap of our lips and our hearts together to worship God, I believe it's the basis for changing all kinds of other things. So today what I want to talk about is worship. And you know, most of the time when we hear worship, we think of music. We think of two things. We think of style, okay? We think of, I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I like that. Or we also think of environment. I think that worship should be reverent. Anybody part of a church that they wouldn't clap? They wouldn't breathe? Like if you breathe, you know it because you were in the church and if your kids did something, they went. Right? You learned to sit and you were quiet. And if somebody said a joke and you ever been a part of a church, like you came from a church where people would clap in appreciation for individuals and God, and then you go ahead and somebody does something, you go, yeah, and you're the only one, you're like. So we think environment. Other people said, I think it needs to be loud and rowdy. Woo, yeah, light show, get, you know, smoke, yeah, it's like watching Pink Floyd in worship, right? So which is right? You see, You may have been part of a different worship. You may have gone to a funeral where it's very solemn. I have my own demented areas that I tell my children I want to have for my funeral. The one thing I've said is I want my hand outside to shake everybody's hand. And Melissa thinks it's horrible. My kids say, oh, we're going to do it somehow. You better shake my hand, all right? And you think I'm joking. I'm serious, okay? Some of you are part of a traditional worship. Some of you have maybe gone to worship overseas where it's completely different. Some of you have been part of a charismatic Pentecostal group. Let me ask you real quick. Who has been part of an expression of worship that is different from what we've experienced so far today? Anybody ever been part of a worship? Okay, there we go. All right. Now, in my experience, I grew up in, for lack of a better term, I can't say traditional because that's all it was back then, United Methodist Church. It wasn't as traditional as others were because my father, those of you know him, he's not a normal traditional kind of guy. But what I mean by that is we sat in pews. Remember those hard benches? And they're called pews because they stink to sit on. We watched choirs with robes, okay? And we would stand up at certain times, and we would sing. I'm going to test you out, see who you are. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. In the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Here's the good part. World without end. Amen. Amen. All right, look at you guys. There you go. Or, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's where everybody always did harmony, right? Oh, man. There we go. Good job. So I know those of you who were in that traditional atmosphere of worship, and you stood up at the right time, you sat down at the right time, you grabbed a thing called a hymnal. Remember those things? If you don't know what it is, Google it. They'll see it. And you can open it up. It had music words, and you would always sing verses 1, 2, and 4. I don't know what was wrong with 3, but always 1, 2, and 4. And you know it's true. And then when I was in youth group, they took us on a field trip in Delaware to a Pentecostal church. And those Pentecostals, they don't care about hymnals. They don't even care if they're sweating. It's like sweating in worship. There's a big guy there. He was like, I was like, he's going to have a heart attack or tackle me. And they're just going, and then somebody's running around, and somebody has like one of those little ribbon things, and they're beating on drums, and woo! And I was like, wow, ain't sleeping today. You know? Wow. And you got somebody speaking in tongues down here, and whooping and dancing and hand clapping. Then when I went to college, I had a professor invited Melissa and I to church, and we went to an AME church, African Methodist Episcopal Church. And guess what? It started at 10, and by 2 o'clock, they ain't even preached yet. I was going, oh, Lord, help me. Maybe Jesus will return, you know? I mean, but guess what? When it came time for offering, you don't sit there. You get up and walk up and give it. And let me tell you, you want the money to go up, you're going to get up there because everybody's like, look at that guy. He ain't giving nothing. You know what I mean? It's just part of the culture and part of the worship. And the songs went, and they were beautiful. And everybody was like the choir came in and like singing, mine eyes have seen the glory. And they're coming like this. I'm like, this is cool. This is a heck of a lot. I mean, this was awesome. And all of these were really, really cool. And then when I was in grad school, I got to go to the area where it all started in Pennsylvania, Messianic worship, which is Jewish believers who believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And what was really awesome there is it was like first century worship. They're singing and they're dancing too. And they wear little yarmulkes like this. And they're blowing shofars, and they're doing dances, and they're like, and then they eat afterwards. It's awesome. And so I've had this. These are just a bit of the expressions of the worship that I have been part of in my life. And we can talk about liturgy, and we can talk about high church, and we can talk about charismatic. We can talk about 15-minute sermons or three-hour church times. And there are numerous ways to worship the Lord. But I want to ask you this question. Which one is right? And the answer for me, as I look back on my life of the United Methodist Church, traditional, the Pentecostal, the AME, the Messianic, and I ask that question, the answer is simply this. All of them or none of them. You say, wait a second, Jack. Because if they honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far, it's neither. If they honor him with their lips and their hearts are together, they're all right. The heart needs to be right. And so worship is not about the style of music. It is about the condition of our hearts. It would be like for Father's Day, my children all come up to me and say, Father, which they wouldn't say, Father, we want to honor you by singing a song to you today. And they begin to go ahead and they begin to sing, Praise Jack, who is our Father here. I say, wait a second. No, wait. I kind of like some drums and some guitar and a little bit of spice to it. Can you go ahead? Even like one of them little keyboards that go make the little samba. That would work, you know. I'm not going to say that. What if they came to me and they had pots and pans like, oh, our dad, he's not really bad, you know, whatever they're doing, right? If it's from the heart, I'm not going to care the way they give it to me. I'm going to be honored by the heart and the lips that match. Anybody here? And so they could come a cappella, they could bang and shout, but whatever they do, if they it's right in their heart, it's going to be good. You see, Christianity is not a hobby or a fascination or part of our lives. Worship isn't limited to the songs that we sing. It's the life that we live. I want to get my heart right before God. I want to think about who God is, and I challenge you to do the same thing right now. I want to think about who God is and what he did through Jesus, that he sent his son into the world to suffer, to die, to raise again, to not leave me orphaned, but send his Holy Spirit so that the great things that he did in his name, I can do an even greater. So, Jack, how do we express our worship creatively? How do we grow in this area? So we're going to go through several of these real quick. Here, you ready? Everybody ready? Right. Number one, according to Scripture, sometimes we bow in reverence. Sometimes we bow. We kneel. Look at what it says here in Psalm 95. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Sometimes we're just in awe of the Lord and what he's done. And we just need to, as we sang today, we fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. That means everything that we work for, everything that we have, we just are in such awe of who he is that we just lay it down, all of it, at the feet of Jesus. All of it. You see, because here's the thing. We either bow now or we do later. Because the scripture tells us very simply this. Paul told the Philippians that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. So you better get started now because we're going to do it one time. Number two, sometimes we lift our hands in adoration. It's not a weird thing. It's a Bible thing. And I've done the whole thing before about the window washing and the, you know, looking, all that stuff. It's a Bible thing. Look what it says in Psalm 63. Because sometimes we are so overwhelmed that it says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will what? Lift up my hands. You see, when we lift up our hands, there's two ways that we recognize lifting up our hands. One is surrender, right? I give up. Sometimes in our lives, we just need to say, Jesus, I give up. I give up. I can't do this anymore by myself. I give up. I give up. Other times, it's a sign of victory. When our team wins, woo! Yes! When we score a touchdown, yeah! And here's the cool thing. When we worship Jesus, we get them both at the same time. I give up and I have victory in you. Isn't that awesome? Number three, sometimes we dance and worship. Sometimes we dance and celebrate. I know many of you have danced before. I was at a wedding last week and I danced to Apache. J-Money, right? I did all that stuff. Yeah, I will dance, right? We got the video to prove it, don't we, Anna? Yes, we do. I know I've danced with some of you guys before, and I know you like the music comes on, you like start snaking it up and stuff. Ready? You're ready to go. So why do we do something that God gave to us to worship Him, and why do we just use it for the world? David was a dancing fool. David danced so much that when the Ark of the Covenant was there, he stripped down to spandex and was dancing around the street. That his wife said, "That's pretty undignified." He said, "Well, I'll be more undignified. See ya, honey," and never went back and saw her. That's how much of an expression of importance it was to David. You see, like when we've been in places where we will high-five strangers when we're on the dance floor, you know, boom, we're dancing. Woo, buddy. Someone's old style twist. Come on, let's twist again. Right? Chubby Checker saying every version of twist there is. Only thing he didn't do is, let's do the Jesus twist. Come on, Jesus. You know, whatever. See, we can dance in the Lord. Look at what it says in Psalm 149. David said, this one here says, let them praise his name with dancing. And David said, you turn my mourning or my weeping into dancing, my mourning into celebration. Sometimes it's just good. Like, you've danced before, like when he gave you a ring. Woo, yeah, I got the ring, right? So many things we dance about. Why not dance before the Lord? Next one. Sometimes we worship with a sacrifice of praise. What does this mean? The writer in Hebrews said this. Continually worship Him. This is what it means. Continually worship Him when we don't feel like it. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes, and I would say more times than not, when life is difficult, you don't feel like praising God. You come in here Sunday, you may not felt well, you may be like just tired, you're conscious of people around you, and you're sitting there and you're singing something, you don't feel like it. That's when you definitely worship Him and give Him the sacrifice of your praise. Give Him that sacrifice. God loves that. We need to worship Him when we're joyous, and we need to worship Him at the times when we're low. Some of us come in with wrong motives in our minds about what God and what worship is about. We need to choose to worship Him no matter where we are in life. Worship is not rooted in our circumstance, but in Christ's character. So, and this is number five, daily. Everybody say daily. We need to lay down our lives as an act of worship. It's not what we do, it's who we are. Jesus says, when the children were cheering for Him, He said, if they were to be silent, the rocks would cry out. Far too long in this world, the rocks have been louder than the church. And we need to cry out all the more. In Romans chapter 12, it says, therefore I urge you. Everybody say urge. Urge you. Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This, everybody say this, this is your true and proper worship. That means if you have a job that you don't like very much, be thankful to God and worship Him in it. It means whether you're healthy or you're battling illness, you worship God in it and you lay down your life in those areas. When you have and when you don't have, you give God praise for the little or the great that you have, and let absolutely everything you do bring glory to God. It's not what you do, it is the life that we need to live. So why do we worship? We worship not because, and the gospel doesn't change bad people into good people. It changes dead people into alive people. Sin does not make us bad. Sin makes us dead. The wages of sin is death, not badness, death. And when you're dead, you can't do one thing to help yourself. Jesus did not leave his throne in heaven to come down to earth to suffer and die to make you a better person. He came to make you alive in Christ Jesus and give you eternal life. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were what? Dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers and the kingdoms of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving what? Wrath. But, everybody say but. Whenever you see the scripture, this is a big but. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us what? Alive. You're only made alive when you're dead. With Christ. And even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. And if you know this, say it with me. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We were dead, and Jesus came to make you alive. And that's why we praise him. And that's why we sing. Because it is through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that this dead man known as Jack Cohen now lives forevermore because of his relationship with Jesus. And that goes for every person walking around. Because religion can't take us. It might make you a little bit better, but it can't take you from death to life. That's only Jesus' job. And that's what he did with it. You know, I read a statistic this week about the space shuttle. Anybody like space stuff? It's kind of cool. To get from Earth to orbit, where they call main engine cutoff, when they're taking off, you it's like rumbling, and that force is on you, and then they hit this area. It's about 80 miles up, where main engine cutoff, and you put in orbit. It's quiet. Humanity has now figured out how to get us from the ground to orbit to main engine cutoff in 8.5 minutes. Fascinating. We've come so far. But humanity can never, has never, nor will never ever come up with an engine that's power enough to get us from death to the feet of Jesus. You see, it's not about being better or smarter. It's about having your heart and your lips together in worship. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and they're going to start to play something for a bit. And then don't stir. There's a couple other things I want you to do. And I was thinking about elevators this week. You know, we jump on those things and don't know how they work. Why is it that when I go and I want to go to the 40th floor, I hit the button, I just jump on, the door's closed, and the next thing I know, whoop, boom, I'm there? You know how you get to the 40th floor? I got a picture up here for you. I didn't draw it. And you can see the car that's over there. And there's, see the stack of things there? The stack of silver, gray things? There is a counterweight that is there. And counterweight, it's not pretty. It's not beautiful. That's why you don't usually see them. Sometimes inside you may see them, and they beautify them a little bit. But what happens is they have figured out the weight of the car plus the maximum number of people. That's why it says maximum amount. That's why when you fill that amount, it goes, not going anywhere. So what happens is when you load yourself in the car and you hit the button, the computer is told what floor you want to go to. And what it does, it is designed and it tells the counterweight to come down so that I can be lifted up to the right place. So it says, let go of the weight so that you can rise up to where you need to be. Here's what I started thinking about this. We have an elevator gospel. Because we are stuck in death. And we need to be lifted up. When our lips and hearts, can I see my heart there? I want to bring them together. There we go. There we go. Look, it made a little smiley face. Okay. When my lips, you ever heard dead men don't tell tales? In my sin and transgressions, I'm dead. I don't say anything. But when Jesus comes into my heart, this old life comes alive. And when we begin, and one of the reasons why we never get lifted up in worship is because our hearts are so heavy and weighted down by the things of the world. And we're trying to lift it up with everything else but Jesus. But he is the only counterweight. You see, the glory of God is Jesus, and that's the counterweight. You say, Jack, that's a nice little illustration, but I'm going to show you where it's biblical. Moses, when he was talking with in the mountain and he saw all this stuff, he said, God, now show me your glory. And the word for glory in the scripture is a word called kabod, or K-B-D, short. And it means glory, but you know what else it means? Weight. When the weight of God comes down and our hearts are in the right place and they match what we say, oh, Lord, I'm dead, but show me your glory. We are lifted up. Isn't that cool? Throughout the scripture, the weight of God, the glory of God, comes when he inhabits our praise. You can go ahead and start playing some stuff here because I want you up now. I want you to lift, let the weight fall, the glory of God. Get on up. Because when you recognize who Jesus is, he is our rock. He is our redeemer. He is the righteousness of God. He is our deliverer. He's our defense. He's our strength. He's our shield. He is our salvation. Anybody out there? He is our bread of life. He is the living water. He is the good shepherd. He is the true vine. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. He is the light of the world in the darkness. He is the Lamb of God that bears the scars for the world. He is the Lion of Judah. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is ever present. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And that's why in Chronicles it says, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. Give the Lord the glory and the weight he deserves. Church, are you hearing me? Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Tell all the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout and praise to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted, amen. Amen. And all the people shouted, amen. Amen. And all the people shouted, amen. Amen. And they all praised the Lord. Let's give it to the Lord right now. Let's just worship him now. Worship him and let the weight go and get your hearts and your lips together in Jesus' name.
Lost our Savior.
God healed, and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God and man, you are.
Break every chain.
There you go. All right, give him a shout of praise. I'm preaching on something next week. I don't even care. God will tell us that next week. Have a great week of worship. We'll see you next week. God bless.